Sodium, saturated fat, preservatives, and added sugars are just some of the ingredients found in just about anything that you consume here in the United States. And for those who want to maintain a healthy lifestyle, it just feels harder and harder to find healthy food options for ourselves and our kids.
Welcome to Healthy Living, Wellness and Prevention, Medical Innovation, the Informed Side of Care. Welcome to Baptist Health Talk.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joanna Gomez coming to you from the Baptist Health Newsroom. Good nutrition is so important and key to a healthy lifestyle. It also helps reduce the risk of obesity, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and certain cancers, among many other things. To talk about eating healthy, we are joined by a Baptist Health expert, Lucette Talamas. It's great to see you here. Registered dietitian with Baptist Health. You really are a wealth of knowledge when it comes, and what a perfect month to talk to us about nutrition. We can't wait to dive into the conversation. But before we do, I want to remind those watching now to send in your questions in the comments. We are here for you and happy to answer any questions you may have. And hopefully you feel the same way I feel when I say that when I walk into the market, Lucette, sometimes I feel extremely overwhelmed. I'm not sure what I should be buying. I see a long list of things of added ingredients, organic, not organic, too much sugar, not sugar. What are some of the things that I should just look out for, red flags that I should avoid?
Right. So walking into the grocery store, it's overwhelming, even for me. There's so many products to choose from. So one thing to remember is when you're looking at the label and the ingredient list is that the ingredients are listed in order of weight. So the ingredient that's higher in weight is going to be larger in presence in that food product. Okay. So one red flag to look out for is if sugar is listed as the first, second, or third ingredient, because that means that it's going to be a lot in there.
You know, it's actually, I never put that together, that it's the one that has the highest is listed first.
Yes. And then on the flip side, you might see a longer ingredient list on foods that are fortified or enriched, because that means that the food has vitamins and minerals that were added into the food during processing. And in that case, you know, you want your, it's a good source, it can be a good source of vitamins and minerals, but you might get confused when you see something on the label that says like tocopherol. But that's actually vitamin E.
Which not like your normal person would not know what that is. Might and sometimes not, you can't even pronounce what, some of the things.
The good news is that some labels are following more consumer-friendly ingredient listings. So they'll put vitamin E and then they'll put parentheses, you know, the scientific name. Mm-hmm. So I've seen that on some labels.
Yeah, they're making it a little bit easier. They're attempting to, at least. But there's also so many good things that we should actually purchase. What would you say are the top three things that we should go to automatically when we're in the market?
In the grocery store, top three, I would say fruits, vegetables, and whole grains.
There we go. The good old fashions that we know. That's what you would say we should always go to first?
Well, when you want to build a healthy plate, you want to bring those things home. So maybe you don't, you know, if you buy in bulk, you don't always need to pick up some rice, you know, especially brown rice and quinoa. But I like to keep those at hand. Also some beans, you know, I like to keep those, mix it in with the rice and our Hispanic cooking and culture. You know, beans are one of the healthiest foods we can include on our plates.
Yeah, that's a good one as well. You know, we also talk about diabetes, heart disease, so many risk factors that come with what we eat. And we've also heard the saying, you are what you eat. How much truth is there to that? And can it actually help to prevent these diseases?
Right. Well, we are what we eat. What goes into our body goes into the building, you know, to building our cells and build, you know, renewing our bodies from the inside out, feeding our system. So we are what we eat. And nutrition is one of the, you know, important lifestyle pillars to help prevent and manage chronic diseases.
Okay, so let's talk about portion size. It looks different from you than what it's going to look for me. Does it really matter once we've already figured out things that we've purchased in the market and we're ready to plate it and serve?
Right. So step one is buying those items. And step two is actually eating them and plating them in the right portion. Okay. So there's some tips and tricks to getting the right portions. We can follow the plate method. Mm-hmm. I really like teaching the plate method. There's also a modified version for diabetes. So it's called the diabetes plate method. And it's very similar to this concept where when we have our plate, we want half of our plate to be vegetables in proportion to the rest of the, you know, the carbs and the protein. So half the plate is vegetables, and then the other half we're going to see carbs and protein. You can do a mixture of animal and plant-based proteins. And that way we have what we call a nice balanced plate.
So I do want to talk to you about the plant-based, but now that you just said vegetables, as a mom, it's difficult, right? When you give your kids these vegetables, they're like, no, no, no. They just kind of want to load up on carbs. What suggestion, what tips do you have for us parents that are like, my kid doesn't eat vegetables?
Right. So that's a... I hear this from adults too. Okay.
Yeah, that's
adults
true.
Can be picky
eaters
with vegetables.
Yeah, we can't only just take down the kids. It's also
but
the
with
adults.
With kids, you want to raise them to help be a healthier eater. So first of all, I like to make sure that the adults are also mimicking these healthy behaviors and eating the vegetables too. The adults in the household. Second, we want exposure. So don't give up, right? Mm. So even if they say no, don't give up. The kids have to be exposed up to over 15 times to maybe accept a new food like a vegetable.
Oh, that's where the whole don't give up thing comes from.
Yeah. So one, role model, two, expposed, and three, involved. So involve them in the process. Okay. So in the grocery store, maybe if the child's with you, have them select the vegetable, let them take some ownership. In the kitchen, maybe have them rinse it or help chop it if they're age appropriate, you know, to start chopping. Have them do something simple, dry off the vegetable, you know, to help them feel involved in that process. And that way, when it's served, it's like, hey, remember, this is the vegetable that we picked up together, that we cooked together, and now we're all eating it together.
Yeah. Those are great tips that you gave us there. How about plant-based diets? We hear so much, not only plant-based diet, but protein diets, eat a lot more protein now. There's a lot of mixed messages when it comes to diets. What's your advice on that?
Okay, so overall, general healthy eating is plant-based eating. Now, the word plant-based has been defined differently by different groups of people. So sometimes the word plant-based is used to describe vegan eating, veganism.
Correct.
So, but that's just one type of plant-based eating. Plant-based diets include a spectrum of diets from vegan to maybe more of a flexitarian pattern that can still include small amounts of animal foods and products. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So plant-based eating, there's a spectrum, and I do believe most people can fall somewhere within that spectrum of healthy eating and follow more plant-based eating.
So would you say a nice balance between a lot of these diets that we read and see?
So with plant-based eating, would be...
With plant-based or protein, should we just incorporate a little bit of this and that and put it together?
So when it comes to like protein is found in all of our food groups except fruits. So our whole grains, our vegetables carry some proteins, not high amounts, but when you eat that amount, half the plate vegetables, you're going to get some plant proteins from just the vegetables. Your whole grains are also a great source of protein, a plant-based protein, especially like brown rice and quinoa and oats. And then we have our beans, nuts and seeds, also tofu and soybeans, you know, so there's a lot of plant-based sources of protein. Plant-based and animal proteins all have the same amino acids. With plant-based eating, you just want to make sure you have a variety of the plant-based sources to get that variety of amino acids in the diet that then go in our bodies and help build cells. And, you know, they're the building blocks.
So as a nutritionist, what would you suggest to a parent who is interested in trying a plant-based diet and kind of wants to incorporate their child in that journey? Is it a stay away because it's too young, or it's okay as long as you hit all the major foods that you need?
Exactly. So a well-planned plant-based diet is safe for adults and kids. The key words there are well-planned. Is at the end of the day, chips, french fries, potato chips are all vegan, vegetarian, you know, some cookies, they're vegetarians. So we still want to have a plant-based diet that's not high in refined carbs and not high in added sugars. So you can follow that by eliminating animal foods, but you also don't have to eliminate animal foods. You can have animal foods be more like the topping on the plate. Often we think like, what's for dinner? We say chicken, right?
Yes.
But what if we say, what's for dinner? We say rice, beans, and chicken.
Okay. I like the way you have flipped that right there. I really appreciate it. And you green-lighted the french fries, which is what I caught on and I appreciate. Let's go back into the grocery stores. We see a lot of the specialty grocery stores, right? But a lot of times it really can hit you in the bank and in your pocket a little harder than expected. Any tricks or any tips you have for us as we make our way into these stores?
Right. So regardless of which grocery store you shop at, if you're looking for the better deal, you want to look at the unit price. So this is on the tags that are located on the shelf of the grocery store. And you're going to see, it's going to be small. So don't forget your glasses. You know, when you read labels and you read these tags, you want to be able to see this. And it's going to say a certain price point per a certain weight. So it might be like 52 cents per ounce. And then you would ideally compare it to another brand or product and see that might be $1.02 per ounce. So in that case, you would go for the unit price that's lower per ounce. Okay. So looking at unit price can help you determine, you know, if something's truly a better buy.
And let's be honest, I think we have to really do meal planning at this point, right? Because I think doing this at the grocery store while you're in a time crunch, it's probably not the best time to start figuring that out. So planning ahead. But I also hear about frozen food. Do we get the same benefits out of purchasing frozen food? Because sometimes that can also be cost efficient.
Yeah. So when it comes to frozen vegetables and frozen fruits, I think they're great to keep at hand. You know, for those weeks you might not have time to go grocery shopping, or maybe some of the produce seemed a little higher in price. The frozen fruits and vegetables also go on sale. Sometimes the frozen veggies are buy one, get one free. I think that that's a great time to, you know, bring some back home and keep them at hand. They last for a while. You don't have to use them right away. And they do, the nutrients are preserved in through freezing in a good way. So you still get the nutrients from the frozen fruits and vegetables. Now, when it comes to frozen meals, like an entire meal that you're reheating up, they usually, may be very high in sodium, also maybe high in fat. So we want to be careful with some of the frozen meals out there.
So maybe stay away from those. Vitamins, supplements, we see that as well. Can I just take some of that and maybe cheat a little bit sometimes on my diet? Is that possible? Asking for friends.
Right. Asking for friends. So dietary supplements, like vitamins and minerals, can help us stay healthy if, you know, by filling in the gap. The word supplement, right? It's there to supplement. But we should keep a food first approach when trying to get our nutrients in. So we always want to aim for healthy eating. There's no replacement for healthy eating. So dietary supplements can maybe help us reach some nutrient goals. But when you look at the synergy of eating all these nutrients from our foods, you know, they all work together for the best benefit of our health when you get it from food. Now, dietary supplements are not well regulated through the FDA. So it's basically up to the dietary supplement company to ensure that what's being sold is safe, for the consumer.
Okay.
So we want to use caution when buying dietary supplements.
Yeah, because we see a lot of times not FDA approved. Should we just avoid it overall?
Right. Well, if a doctor has recommended for someone to take a dietary supplement that's a vitamin or mineral, you do want to follow your doctor's recommendations. Also, certain populations during pregnancy, you know, a prenatal is important.
Correct.
During, if someone that's a vegan does have to supplement with vitamin B12 and other vitamins, very likely. So it is important, you know, if you are one of those populations that has to take a dietary supplement, to buy one that's third party verified, specifically by USP or NSF. So you'll see these little logos, a USP or NSF. On the dietary supplement bottle, and that ensures that what's in the bottle, what's being advertised, is actually what's in the bottle.
Very good. Yeah. Good tip there. I like that one. Okay, so now let's go ahead and answer some more of the top research questions that we have seen on the internet. So one of the ones that we saw the most was, what are the three foods that I should take out of my diet? And I have a feeling you're going to say sugar.
So we want to cut back as much as we can on added sugars. So it's almost impossible to get rid of all added sugars in our diet, but we want to work towards cutting back. One category of added sugars is sweetened beverages.
Okay.
So sugar sweetened beverages like soda, but it's not just the soda. There's a lot of different varieties out there now of, you know, different types of drinks, whether it's carbonated or not, that have added sugars. It could be sweet tea, lemonade, and all of these at the end of the day have way too much sugar, more than the recommended amount from just one serving. So if we can strongly cut back, make it something that's not daily. And if you have prediabetes or type 2 diabetes, it is strongly recommended to avoid and cut out sugary beverages.
But we need sugar, right? Because everything is like a little bit of a balance. You can't walk around also with no sugar. So would you suggest then incorporating fruit at that moment as the sugar? And what is the amount that is needed?
So we need carbohydrates, not necessarily sugar. So carbs, some of them exist as simple sugars, and that's, you know, more similar. But natural sugars, we shouldn't be worried about, you know, because natural sugars are found in fruits. but also in milk and dairy. So, you know, that's something some people don't recognize, but if you look at a label, milk has carbohydrates and you don't recognize, well, those are the carbs that turn into sugar. So it's nothing bad or wrong. Okay. We just want to recognize that we do get natural sugars in our diet. And with added sugars, the recommendation by American Heart Association is to cut back to 6 teaspoons per day for women and children and 9 teaspoons per day for men. Okay. But this isn't just the sugar going in the coffee. This is, you know, the teaspoon equivalents that might be in a cookie or a cupcake or a processed treat.
Oh, yeah. So we really have to be mindful of what we put in at that moment. It was 3 foods and I assumed that sugar was the first one. What are the other two?
You know, it's hard to eliminate a food. I don't believe in eliminating unless you have to eliminate it due to an allergy. Okay. But if you just like, you know, but there are some, I think maybe an ingredient that we should avoid, and that's tropical oils. And again, we will still somehow be getting some of this through some foods that we choose to eat. But tropical oils are found in processed foods, especially palm oil and even coconut oil. Both of these oils are very high in saturated fat, which has been linked, you know, a diet high in saturated fat to higher risk of cholesterol.
So should we be looking for the tropical oil on any of the foods that we eat and the ingredients listed? And if it's there,
you'll probably see the word palm oil most of the time. And that's one of the oils we want to reduce or cut back.
Okay. So I do want to talk to you about one thing, because there is a big thing about no dairy. A lot of people cut out dairy, their diet. Is it something that you recommend that you say no, as a nutritionist, your opinion?
Right. So dairy provides, milk, cheese, and yogurt provides a lot of nutrients, you know, from the milk providing vitamin, calcium and vitamin B12 that we don't even recognize that 50% of our vitamin B12 intake can come from one cup of milk. And then also yogurts and fermented milk like kefir can provide probiotics. So, you know, dairy does provide a good amount of nutrients. A lot of the information I've seen circulating is false about dairy causing inflammation. Dairy can only cause inflammation in people who have a dairy allergy or lactose intolerance. So, you know, there's, as far as trying, you know, my main question when someone says they're avoiding dairy is why? Is it only because you've heard? You know, how do you feel?
So inflammation, I think, is probably the biggest
different
thing.
Yeah. If someone cuts out dairy, they say they feel better, then I would guide them through choosing healthier milk alternatives. You know,
is almond milk, would that be a good alternative?
It depends on the person. Sometimes just switching to like lactose-free milk might be the idea. And then when we talk about any milk alternative, it's about finding one that's fortified.
Okay, let's get to one more question. Can you tell me about mindful eating and how it can help me lead a healthier lifestyle?
Yes. So mindful eating is combining mindfulness during our moments of eating. So mindfulness is that pause. And we live in this busy, rushed times that we are eating on the go. And it's still important to remind people to pause when we eat and ask ourselves, am I hungry? It's also asking ourselves a few questions like, am I hungry? How hungry am I? What have I eaten today? You know, and reflect a little bit before we sit down and eat. And mindful eating can be a powerful tool to assist, you know, during someone's like weight management journey, and also just to help increase our relationship with food. So we have a good relationship with food. You know, it helps us eat the foods that we like in moderation.
Since you are the expert, I will go ahead and ask you this. I've heard it sometimes you feel a little hungry, but it could actually be that you are dehydrated, that you're thirsty. Is there any truth to that?
There could be some truth behind it for some people. It is good to stay hydrated. A lot of people are also not drinking enough water throughout the day. It's good to, you know, as soon as we wake up, to start drinking some water, whether it has some lemon or not, that doesn't make a difference. But, you know, if you are truly hungry, though, if you drink some water and you still recognize your signs of hunger, which is part of mindful eating, is becoming more intuitive with your body and recognizing sometimes it's not just your stomach growling. It might be a slight headache or trouble concentrating or even slight irritability can be signs of hunger. So if you drink some water and you still have some of your signs of hunger, the only thing you need then is some food.
Okay. Lucette, thank you so much. I truly appreciate this conversation. You have been so knowledgeable. Thank you so much for your insight and for sharing all the information. Remember, viewers, be sure to hit that subscribe button on our channel here to keep up with the latest health and wellness information and tips from all our experts. Thank you so much for watching.
Find additional valuable health and wellness information on our resource blog at baptisthealth.net/news. And be sure to interact with us on our social media channels for live and upcoming events. Baptist Health Talk is brought to you by Baptist Health, the warmer side of care.